Jim Harold's Campfire is brought to you by Bombas, the best socks in the history of feet. Get 20% off your first order. Go to bombas.com/Jim. That's bombas.com/Jim. Thanks, Bombas.
Welcome to our gathering tonight. Here we share stories of ordinary people who have experienced extraordinary things. Sit back, relax, and warm yourself by Jim Harold's Campfire.
Welcome to the campfire. I am Jim Harold, and so glad to be with you once again. And we have a humdinger of a show for you today. Lots of spooky stories, Ouija board, shadow people, haunted houses, and much more. I think that you're going to enjoy it. So let's get right to it. But first, I have a quick favor to ask. If you enjoy the show, please rate, review, and most importantly, if you listen on iTunes or the podcasts app on your iPhone or your iPad or wherever, subscribe. If they give you that chance to subscribe, please do that, because that way that will move us up in the charts. More people will see the show. We'll have more listeners. We'll be able to do more fun stuff and keep the campfire burning brightly. So with no further ado, this time, here is the campfire. Well, Matt has been listening for a few years, and now he's decided to call in and tell his campfire story. He's calling in from Pennsylvania tonight. I should note, he mentioned to me how much he's enjoying my crime scene show. So if you're into true crime, here's a plug. Check it out. Jim Harold's Crime Scene. It's wherever fine podcasts are heard. But tonight, we're not talking about true crime. We're talking about shadow people. And Matt has some stories of shadow people. Matt, welcome to the program and tell us about these experiences with one of the scariest topics I can think of, shadow people.
Well, thank you, Jim. It's a pleasure and an honor to be on your show. Wow, where to start? This story with the shadow people started a while back. I was at my ex-wife's, a funeral for my ex-wife, and I was in the middle of 20 people, and we were all sleeping. Everybody was asleep, and I didn't know anybody. And while I was laying there, it felt like somebody was near me. And all I can describe is somebody was leaning over me, and it freaked me out, and I bolted up. Of course, my ex-wife looks up at me and goes, "What was wrong?" I said, "Someone was leaning over me. I swear they were." And she's like, "No, there was nobody there. You know, there's people around, all around you, and everybody's asleep. Go back to sleep." Okay, no big deal. So I went back to sleep. So flash forward a couple years later now, same thing starts to happen. I'm in a different house, though. I'm in my own house, except this time it's a little creepier. This time I'm in my own bed. Ooh. This time it has a ski mask on.
Oh, man.
Oh, and has a knife.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, and I freaked out. And I started punching, kicking, blankets go flying. My ex-wife wakes up, "What is your problem?" And there's nothing there. And I'm like, "I don't know." And to make it worse, this happened at least multiple times, at least two or three times, that where it would be something, I could feel the warm breath. I would swear somebody was there. And I would wake up and punching, kicking, trying to save my life, basically. And nobody was there. It just disappeared, which kind of leads me to another story with disappearing. It was funny because I've listened so long, I've never had something hit home like that. I literally shouted, "That's the thing that was after me," in my car while I was driving to work that morning when I heard the podcast on the shadow people. But there was another issue that another thing that came up when they mentioned about the shadow people disappearing. Did you ever get the feeling something's in your room and you don't know what? Like there's something there and you don't know what? Well, that happened to me before the shadow people. And I would wake up and bolt up in bed, and at the edge of my bed, at the foot of the bed, disappearing, like they were talking about, like beaming up, were two kind of alien grays, were the best way I can describe it.
Oh, wow.
And so that happened before the shadow people. It was the same feeling where there's something in your room. And that continued on for a while. So one evening, I was lying in bed, and I looked out the window and saw a bright light. Now, it could have been a star, could have been a planet, could have been a plane, I don't know. I kind of flipped it off and said, "Here, abduct this," and went to sleep. Now, I don't know if I had a dream or if they decided to show me what they can do. But do you ever, you know, the feeling when you're in a dentist chair and they lay you back and you're completely laid back and you're kind of you're completely horizontal and kind of can't do anything, and then the dentist's face comes over you and he's there with a tool.
Yeah, yeah.
Imagine that happening, only it's a gray and he's got a tool in his hand.
Oh gosh.
I don't know if it was a nightmare or they decided, yeah, we're going to show you what we can do. That freaked me out. I mean, I woke up, my heart's pounding, and I look at the edge of the bed, and there are those two guys disappearing.
You know, the thing is about shadow people. It's one of the weirder things that we talk about on here because, you know, shadow, because it's a shadow person, I don't think it necessarily means it's a ghost. Could it be, when we get into some of these realms, you talk about things like shape-shifting. You know, today I talked to someone who believes that aliens aren't really from other planets, but they're extra dimensional and they're from another dimension. So the thing is that our kind of old assumptions that, you know, a ghost is Aunt Millie. Well, a shadow person isn't necessarily a ghost. Who knows what a shadow person is?
When it came at me with it would just stand there with a knife like over me. And I could feel, like I said, I could feel warm breath and I would just go nuts trying to protect myself and it would poof, disappear. And when he said they beamed up, I started thinking, wait a minute, I remember those alien things or whatever it was, what I thought were grays, you know, at the foot of the bed disappearing like that too. Could it be related? I don't know.
I mean, if you had to bet money on it, do you think that these are just really intense dreams or do you think there's something deeper going on here?
Honestly, I was thinking about that on the way home. And to be honest with you, I would love to go and undergo hypnosis just to see. Just to see what I would say, because I can't definitively say, oh, it's just a dream. It was just a dream I had, because I don't have nightmares. I don't have reoccurring nightmares. And to have a shadow person nightmare like that repeat itself consistently with the same thing, exact same thing happening, I don't know. I can't say with, you know, I can't say 100% it's a dream, but I can't say 100% it was not a dream.
I don't know what it is, but it's terrifying. Actually, it's funny. We're recording this as the last call of the evening. It's 11:10 p.m. Eastern time as I record this, and I've had a very long day. And Matt, I was so looking forward to some restful sleep, and here you've gone and ruined it.
That's where I'm hitting too. I'm glad I could help.
When I wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and I see an alien and a shadow person over my bed, I will know who to blame now. But that is scary. No, seriously. I mean, yep. Not to make light of it, not knowing what it is. I mean, if you know you're having really bad dreams and that's what it is, that's something you can deal with. Maybe there's a medical thing, you know, maybe you meditate and sleep better. But then to think that maybe it is something else, that could be kind of disturbing.
Yep, exactly.
Well, Matt, thank you for joining us tonight on The Campfire. And you certainly have the call of the night. We thank you for being a part of the program.
Thank you, Jim. Appreciate it.
Next up on The Campfire is Lindsay from Florida. And we're going to talk about playing with a Ouija board in a haunted storage unit. Now, that sounds like a fun mashup, Lindsay. Thank you for joining us. And thanks for listening the last few months. Tell us what happened.
Well, thanks, Jim, for having me. It is a fun mashup. So basically, the story goes is me and my husband, we were at a storage unit about 4 years ago. And when we first got the storage unit, the owner actually told us that there is these statues that we weren't allowed to move and that bad things would happen if we moved them.
That sounds ominous.
And we were like, well, what are you talking about? You know, it seems really strange. We're a little skeptical. We're kind of those people that we try to outrule everything before we call it paranormal. So we asked her about it and she said, well, one day when we first bought the property, we actually moved the statues, and the maintenance guy that had been working there for like over 20 years started screaming at her and said, no, put it back. You have to put it back right now.
Wow.
So she still had no clue really what would happen. So she just put it back and left it there. So, you know, we were like, okay, that's weird. She also informed us that a man actually hung himself in one of the storage units.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So we were like, all right, well, It was a cheap storage unit, so that was nice.
I wonder why.
Yeah, right. So Jordan decided one day that he would take a picture of the statues because it was really creepy. He wanted to show it to some of his friends. And Jordan's my husband. So he took a picture of it. And then he started having these really bad nightmares about the statue. And he continued to have them until he deleted the photo off of his phone. So we don't know really what's going on with it, but we knew something was obviously not very, not a very pleasant spirit, obviously. So we were bored one day and we saw, I think we saw a horror movie with a Ouija board. And I was like, oh yeah, I remember I did that when I was, you know, like 12 years old. It'd be fun to do because we know the storage unit has some history. So we made a homemade Ouija board because we didn't buy one. So obviously we're already starting out probably not the most respectful way to talk to spirits. So we go ahead and go to the storage unit and we decide to do a walk around. We put our phone on record to like record any sounds. And after we did that, we actually heard a bunch of knocking and like scratching on the recording. So we were already kind of creeped out, but we're like, all right, whatever. Let's just do this Ouija board thing, see what happens. So we start talking to a spirit. It doesn't tell us our name, his name or her name. And we finally get to the question, are you a friendly spirit? And it says, no. And that's when we stopped playing. We were kind of scared at that point. We're just like, all right, let's just leave it. So a few like weeks go by and nothing really weird has happened. I mean, you hear the occasional knocking, but for me, I kind of rule that out. It's a storage unit. There's metal walls. It could be anything. But we found out that the room where the man actually hung himself was to the back of the storage unit. And we decided to walk down that hallway, which, you know, we weren't scared enough, I guess. So we go ahead and do that. We go ahead and go down there. And mind you, Jordan is not like right next to me. So there's no way that he could have touched me or anything. My arms are right by my side. So we're walking down the hallway and we're hearing all the noises again. And it's actually like louder. We both have like a terrible feeling. We're like, what did we just do? So we're rushing through the hallway and my arm starts to burn. And I don't really think of it, anything of it at that moment. So we just rush out of there. We get out and we're out of the storage unit. And I look down at my arm and I have three long claw-like scratches.
Oh boy.
Yes. From like my wrist to my elbow. And it was burning until we left the storage property. And as soon as we left the property, it stopped burning.
Wow. So what happened after that? Did you keep the storage unit?
No, we ended up, we stayed for a little while longer. I didn't really go to the storage unit very often after that because, you know, Jordan was creeped out, but nothing like that happened to him. So I was like, well, maybe, you know, it doesn't like me for whatever reason. So, you know, I only went on a need to go basis, but we did eventually stop renting the storage unit. And I tried to look up information about it and there's nothing on the internet. It's like hidden. I don't really know. And I don't even think the same owners are there anymore.
Ooh. Now, I got to ask you this. I've got to ask you this. Did you play with a Ouija board anymore, homemade or otherwise?
After that, no, I have not. I think I've learned my lesson with that.
Well, I will mention, you know, we have our Plus Club on March 30th, I believe it is, have a seminar, a webinar we're going to be doing on the mysterious and controversial Ouija board. So everybody listening out there, if you're into the Plus Club, that's with Karen A. Dahlman. She'll tell us all about it. Well, I've got to really appreciate that great story, Lindsay. Thank you for listening for the last few months. And I'll never go to a storage unit the same way. I'll wonder, is this haunted? Wow. Ooh, spooky. And I won't be playing with at least any homemade Ouija boards. Thank you again, Lindsay.
Thank you so much.
Jim Harold's Campfire is brought to you by Bombas, the best socks in the history of feet. And I'm going to tell you how you can get 20% off your first order. But first, I'm going to tell you the tremendous story of Bombas. Now, 4 years ago, two guys quit their jobs at a media company to make a difference in the world with, of all things, socks. Now, it started out when they found out that socks were the most requested items at homeless shelters. And at the same time, they realized there was a gap in the market for a more thoughtfully crafted sock. So basically, they decided we're going to reinvent the sock, which they did. They spent 2 years on R&D and they put thought into every single detail to engineer the perfect sock. And Bombas was born. And after making 7 substantial improvements to the ordinary sock, their customers overwhelmingly claim they're obsessed with their Bombas because they're the most comfortable socks they've ever worn. Now, a couple of my favorites of things that they've done, you know how socks fall down? Cheap socks? Well, not with Bombas. They have fixed that problem. Another problem, that seam at the bottom of your toes, it gets like bunched up and it's uncomfortable all day. They've gotten rid of that seam. I mean, I just love this thing. They've done this in several other aspects, but that's my favorite. Now, okay, so they've re-engineered the sock, but how does that make a difference in the world? Well, get this. For every pair they sell, they donate another pair to those in need, and they've donated over 2 million pairs so far. Now, if you need new socks, you cannot go wrong with Bombas. The testimonials speak for themselves. People are saying, again, most comfortable socks I've ever worn, first time I've ever looked forward to putting on my socks. They fit your feet comfortably, as well as the colors are great. They're so soft and comfortable. I'm just reading here some of the different comments for different people. My toes are extremely sensitive, and I've had to turn socks inside out for years to avoid the seams we talked about. Bombas have solved my problem, and I won't wear any other brand from now on. And the list goes on and on and on. So, whether your superpower is moving through a spreadsheet with your eyes closed or dominating your rec volleyball league, everyone deserves comfortable feet, and comfort is Bombas' superpower. So here's the deal, exclusive offer. Get 20% off your first order by going to bombas.com/gym. That's bombas.com/gym. Now they have a money back guarantee, free shipping with orders $30 and more. And I got to tell you, you've got to try it out. Their motto is be better, and they really have made the world a better place through socks. Who would have thunk it? But I love it. I love the story. It feels really good to get behind a company and promote a company that's making a great product, but they're also making a difference in the world. I just big thumbs up to them. Show them that you appreciate them. Give them a try. Bombas.com/gym. That's bombas.com/gym. bombas.com/gym. And get that 20% off your first order offer. The promo code will pop up when you go in. The promo code is Jim. So you can just pop that in there when you order. We thank you so much. And we thank Bombas. Thanks, Bombas. Next up on the campfires, Amber from West Virginia. She found us on Spotify, and in her words, she's been hooked ever since. Mission accomplished. And she's going to tell us about her experience on the campfire tonight. Amber, tell us what happened.
Well, we have been living in an apartment here in Gaslay for, my fiance has been there for almost 2 years, almost 3 years, and I've been there for almost a year. And we've just been noticing some small things happening. And the weekend before Christmas, his mother and her boyfriend had come for a visit, and we were sitting in the living room. Just out of nowhere, this small little giraffe that I had sitting on the windowsill had been there for 6 months untouched, probably, flies off the windowsill.
Huh, wow.
So we were sitting, we were sitting there, and his mom's like, does this happen often? I was like, oh, yeah. And she's like, it happens, you know, quite frequent. And I was like, it's just Emily. And she's like, you have a little ghost named Emily. So, yeah.
So, Emily, do you see Emily often around your apartment?
I have seen Emily probably 3 or 4 times. Some other people that, you know, my fiance's uncle lives with us, and he's seen her probably about 3 times. And she hangs out around our bathroom. I mean, we've heard giggles and seen shadows and... For some reason, just the name Emily. I want to call her Emily for some reason.
So it's not like any research or anything like that. So is it, these like experiences, what form do they take? Are they like scary, or just she makes her presence known, like with the giraffe, just little things, or what does she do?
She definitely makes her presence known. I mean, I come out of the bathroom one night and saw her standing just right outside the bathroom door, and she had on like this, you could totally see her white dress and her curls, and it looked like it's a little girl standing in my hallway.
Do you remember what kind of clothes she was wearing?
It looked like it definitely looked lacy around the bottom. I would say maybe like 1800s, early 1900s dress.
Oh. Now, your building you live in, is it that old?
The building that we're in now is, I think it was built in like 1920. It's an old railroad town, so there's definitely some history here. And I've tried to research the history of our building, and we cannot find anything.
Well, what's interesting is that, okay, you have one building, but you don't know what was built there before.
That's true.
So it doesn't necessarily, it doesn't have to be tied to that building. It could be tied to the land.
That's true. That's very true. We've had all kinds, I could probably sit here for days and tell you stories of, you know, all kinds of stuff that's happened around our apartment.
Well, tell us another strange thing that's happened, maybe.
Well, when I first moved in with my fiance, he has two kids. And their mother passed away about 3 or 4 years ago. And back first come into the picture, a lot of weird things would start happening. Dryer door would open by itself. Cabinet door would open. Just miscellaneous things we'd find laying on the floor. But the one thing that got me the most is I had went to work one day. I had stayed at the apartment and I had went to work. And my coworker said, "Hey, who's this girl in your backseat of your car?" And I was like, "There's nobody." And he was like, "There's someone in the back seat of your car." And he described her, and he's like, "She's got glasses, round face, short black hair. She's definitely someone in the back seat." So I come home and told my fiance about it. And before he even told me anything, he went and got a picture from his son's room and showed me a picture of his ex-wife. And it, my coworker described her to a T.
Huh.
So.
That's strange. Now, as far as Emily goes, is it like, you know, some people, if they have something in their house, they want to do a cleansing or have a member of the clergy come or get rid of it as soon as possible. Do you feel that way about Emily, or is Emily just kind of like a welcome visitor?
Well, we've cleansed the house. We've staged it. We've burnt candles. I think that I don't think she means any harm. I mean, we've kind of just welcomed her. I mean,
well, it's an interesting thing to be living with a ghost, and not many people, I think, can say that they've done that, but obviously you have done it, and it is, it's something to think about.
It's definitely, well, just Monday night, my fiance's uncle was in the shower about 11 o'clock, and he was getting out of the shower, and he heard a giggle or a whimper, and he thought it was, you know, our youngest daughter, and he's like, "You know, Bella, I'll be right out, I'm, you know, getting out of the shower." And he said that he had got out and there was nobody there. All the kids were asleep. There's nobody there. But he said that he definitely heard a giggle or a whimper.
Wow, there you go.
We just talked it up to Emily.
Emily strikes again. Well, Amber, thank you for listening and for being a part of the campfire.
Thank you, Jim.
Next up on the show is Crystal from Colorado. And she is a fairly new listener, just found us around Halloween time on iHeartRadio. I love the way podcasts are just kind of branching out everywhere. And she has a story for us about her great-grandma, and we're so glad to have her here. Crystal, welcome to the program, and tell us what happened.
Hi, thank you, Jim. It's great to finally talk to you. My great-grandma, she passed away at the age of 96, so she was very old. I wasn't very close with her as I grew up. She kind of was, my mom would say she wasn't a little kid grandma. So she wasn't the type of great grandma that I'd sit on her lap and, you know, or bake cookies, things like that. So I didn't really know a whole lot about her. So after she passed away, that was in 2009. In 2015, I was invited to an event in my local downtown area where I had grew up and my grandma had lived there. My friend was selling some items at a booth, and she said, "Hey, why don't you come down and check out some of the other booths that are here?" So I went down with my husband and daughter. My daughter was, I think, 3. And we were shopping. We went in and started shopping around some of the booths. And a man was saying, "Hey, we're doing tours of the historic opera house next door if anybody wants to come take a tour." At first, I thought, nah, I didn't really feel like it. But then as we were leaving, again, he said, "Hey, we're doing some tours next door if you guys want to come take a look at the historic opera house." So I said, "You know, why don't we go ahead and we'll take the tour. It could be fun." I'm into that stuff. I like history and old buildings and things like that. So we went outside and we were standing in front of the building, and I looked up at the sign to read the sign that was above the building. It said it was the Historic Opera House, and it was for the local Oddfellows and Rebeccas.
Oh, yeah. I've heard of the Oddfellows. Yeah.
Okay. So the Rebeccas is kind of the female version of the Oddfellows. So as I looked up at the sign, I just suddenly thought, your grandma's up there. And it wasn't an audible, you know, voice or anything like that. It was just a thought in my head that said, your grandma's up there. And I thought, well, that's a little weird. But I kind of brushed it off. So the tour guide came and opened the door. And as soon as she opened the door, all you could see was this very narrow staircase going up. Now, just to give you a little bit of a picture, this opera house is not probably what most people are thinking, like a huge opera house by any means. I'm from a small town. It's quite a bit bigger now, but back then it was very small, and it was probably the size of maybe a couple movie theaters, but nothing grand by any means. So she opens this door, and it's this really narrow staircase, and I all of a sudden had this feeling of deja vu, or just, I can't really describe it. It was just this weird feeling that I had when she opened the door. So we went up the stairs, and I just felt myself having to look at all the pictures on the walls. I can't describe it. I just had to look at all the pictures and examine all the pictures. We went in a few rooms, and there was the third room we went in. I walked into the room and, again, felt myself having to look at all the pictures, and there was two pictures of my great-grandma on the wall from the 1950s and 60s. And when I saw those, a chill just went up my spine, and I said, that's my grandma right there. And I told my husband, and we took some pictures of it. And I knew that that's why I was compelled to check all the pictures on the walls. It turns out she had been a 33-year member of the Rebecca Lodge, but this was long before I was born. I had no idea about any of this.
That is so great.
And yeah, her picture was there on the wall, and I knew it was going to be there somehow before we even went in the building. I talked with my mom about it a little bit, and she said, well, actually, you were in that building, but I was only, you know, 1 to 2 years old when we had gone to some events there. So maybe that's why I had that deja vu type feeling. I don't know. But I had no idea that her picture was going to be up there, and that building, that she had done so much work in that building.
Well, it's one of those things where I think they have a way of connecting us. I think that, and I don't know how this works, but I think that there's some way that they have of manipulating events and kind of putting things in your path that you can almost stumble over, and you kind of can discover it's great grandma saying hello.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That experience led me to remember that I had a genealogy book that she had worked on with her siblings, and where they wrote down stories about growing up in the early 1900s and up until the 1930s and things like that. So I looked at it, and in her last paragraph, she would have written this in 1977. She wrote, I'm trying to lead a good life, and I'm fully aware of a power much greater than any on earth, and I'm happy and satisfied, and that I do not have any doubts as to my future.
Wow, that is very cool. Well, I thank you so much, Crystal, for sharing this on the campfire. The thing I love is that everybody thinks the campfire is just spooky scary. And the truth is, it's not just spooky scary. It sometimes it can be every bit as heartwarming as any Hallmark movie you'd want to see. And so glad to have you on the program. Thank you, Crystal.
Thank you, Jim.
Austin joins us from South Carolina, and he has a story about his mom. Austin, please tell us what happened.
Well, about 2 years ago, we lost my mom to cancer. It was pretty ugly, and she wanted to die at home, and she did. And it was about 3 a.m. Anyway, it takes a while before we're able to get in contact with the funeral home. And by that point, we can't get her rings off. So we, I don't know why we do this. We wanted to have proof that we actually owned these. So we take a photograph with my dad's cell phone, and nothing shows up. And I promise we were not using a flash. The screen was just completely whitish yellow with just the vaguest outline of a hand. So I switched to my phone, And still, same thing, no flash. We have the lights on, and we haven't messed with the ISO settings or anything like that. And I just wanted to know if there was any kind of phenomena that could possibly cause that.
Yeah, I'm not a photographic expert, but we have a lot of people who listen to this show. So if anybody out there has an opinion, we could post it on the virtual campfire group, the Facebook group, and folks could chime in there. So if you have any thoughts about that. So you're trying to determine if it's something that is just kind of a photographic phenomenon, or maybe there's some kind of supernatural reason for this.
Yeah, and my instinct is to say it's something with the cameras, but we tried two cameras made by two different companies.
That's interesting.
And still, same results. And the internet has turned up nothing. Every time I ask, people say, did you leave the flash on? And I promise I did not have the flash on.
So you tried to take pictures of these rings. You had the flash off, and all of the pictures turned out completely white without any flash.
Right. They were washed out, completely washed out.
And again, I mean, I'm a little bit into photography, and I know, you know, for example, orb photos, that's something I'm probably pretty skeptical about in general. I'm not saying that it's impossible, but 9 times out of 10, it's like dust in my view.
Yeah.
But I do think this is interesting. So let's do this, Austin. Folks, you're listening now. Hopefully you're part of our virtual campfire group over on Facebook. If you're not, please sign up. It's free. You say, I want to join, and an admin, myself or another admin, will approve you. And then chime in on there. We'll get a thread going, and we'll see if there are any photographic experts. And, I mean, I don't know if this is the kind of thing. It's kind of a tough thing. I don't think this would be something you want to post a picture of, per se.
Right. I don't even know if we saved the photo.
Yeah, that would be a tough thing to ask. I wouldn't ask you to do that. But certainly, let's get that thread going over on the virtual campfire. And, folks, let us know what you think. Austin, thank you for calling. And as I said before, I'm sorry for your loss. I lost my mom a few years ago, and I know that's a very tough thing. So my sympathies with you and your family. But thank you for sharing your story. And let's see if we can get maybe not an answer, but some informed opinions over on the virtual campfire group.
Well, thank you.
Hey, everyone. Jim here. You know you're listening to this edition of the Campfire number 301. And maybe you're new to the shows and you've listened to the dozen or so free shows at the site and the free feed, and you kind of wonder, well, how can I listen to the other 289 Campfire podcasts that are not on Jim's free site or in the free feed? How do I get those? Well, I am here to answer all questions, and I'll tell you, you get them at my Paranormal Plus Club at jimherold.net. So if you're a member to my Paranormal Plus Club, you can get all of the Campfire archives going back to 2009. Same with my other show, the Paranormal Podcast. Now, for the Paranormal Podcast, similar to Campfire, we have about a dozen or so free shows up there in the free site and the free feed. But all of the other 460 episodes going all the way back to 2005, well, you can only get those archive shows at jimherold.net. But wait! There's more. You can get exclusively on the Plus Club shows programs like The Cryptid Report, a show that's never been free, Ghost Insight, UFO Encounters, Conspiracy Corner. These shows have never been free and are available exclusively on my Plus Club. Altogether, I know we have well over 1,300 podcasts available at this point, and they are only on the Paranormal Plus Club. So, what do you do to join? Well, there's never been a better time because we have a special deal going on right now. Your first month is only $2.95. That's right, $2.95, less than the cost of a fancy coffee for a month of access to that treasure trove of paranormal content. And if you want to go yearly, you can get $25 off the yearly offer for our first year. Actually, last week, I misstated. I said $21. It's actually $25 off the yearly price. Such a deal. So you get all these podcasts, but wait, there's more. We have video webinars, and this is so cool. We're going to be doing one at the end of this month on the mysterious and controversial Ouija board with Karen A. Dahlman. She's going to give a conference quality presentation, and then afterwards you can ask Q&As. So we do these video webinars just for Plus members periodically, and all the ones we've done in the past, well, those too are archived at guess where? jimherold.net, my Paranormal Plus Club. So if you want to go back and find out topics, black-eyed kids, communicating with the dead, ghost hunting, UFOs. We have a great archive of video webinars over there as well. But you got to be a member. So if you want to get in on all the paranormal goodness and exclusive content you can't get anywhere else, all the Campfire Archives, the Paranormal Archives, the exclusive shows, and so much more, go to jimherold.net and click the banner at the top of the page and take advantage of our sale that we've got going on right now. That's jimherold.net, my Paranormal Plus Club, jimherold.net. Check it out. Tim is on the line from Nova Scotia up north, and he's been listening for a few years, and he has a really interesting story. This is very unique. I've never heard anything quite like this one. Tim, please tell us what happened.
Hi. I was working for a local woodworking company back in the early 1990s, just as a part-time job in college, and there was a number of items that we made. My boss began making these wooden boxes for holding candles. And a woman came by one day, and she had a special request where she had brought her husband's ashes with her, and she wanted to have a candle box made to store the ashes in. And it was much cheaper than urns were priced and things like that, and she liked the look of it. And so my boss took the ashes, which were kind of like a plastic container, and he said he would hang on to them and just use them for measurements for making the specifications of the box. And after she left, he put the box sitting on the stairway, which was on the other side of the wall where our workshop was. And he had a number of friends that over the next couple of weeks dropped in, and as they did, he would give a knock on the wall at some point and say, "Hey, Chuck, how you doing over there?" The woman's husband had been named Charlie. So then, he'd knock on the wall and say, like, "Hey, Chuck, how you doing over there?" And they'd say, "Oh, what are you doing?" And he'd be like, "Well, I want to introduce you to my buddy Chuck," and he'd take them around, and he'd be like, "Look at this. This woman dropped off these ashes. Kind of crazy, you know?" And they'd be like, "Okay," you know, just kind of like a shock kind of thing. Eventually, the woman returned to pick up her box. And so she picked up her box, and as she was turning to leave, she came back and said, "I just want you to know that the other night I'd been to see a medium, and the medium told me that Charlie was very happy in his new place, that the person he was with was introducing him to all of his friends, and he was very happy. They were also calling him Chuck, which was like the name that he preferred to go by." And she said, "I'd like to thank you very much for that." And then she walked off to her car while my boss just stood there with his jaw dropped, scratching his head.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So I kind of, because it sounds like your boss was having a little bit of fun there. It looks like the joke might have been on him. What was his reaction?
Oh, he was just blown away. Like, he didn't know what to do.
Oh, man. Wow. It's like he kind of, I could just imagine it would be like a scene out of a movie. I love that story. That is quite a story. Now, before we started, you said you had a second story, and since this one was pretty short, do you want to share that one with us too?
Sure. My job is I'm in the Canadian military, and a couple of weeks ago, I was doing a duty here on the naval base. And there's an old British barracks there that is quite an old building from around 1860 and quite a long history to it. And a lot of people claim it's haunted. And a couple of times in the past when I've done nightly duty, we always have to patrol and walk through this building for security reasons. And nobody even lives in it. And there's been a couple of times where I've been doing this and my partner isn't really willing to go into the buildings. I do it for them because they say it just creeps them out. And I've never really had a creepy feeling going through there or anything. But the rumor is always, oh, it's haunted, you know. And a couple of weeks ago, it was my turn to go and do the walkthrough of this empty building. And you just walk through the couple of floors, go through with a flashlight and look for any signs of disturbance or anything. And as I was passing through, I was walking past one of the rooms and I distinctly heard a voice that just came from the room and said, "Hey," and I spun around and I said, like, "Hello?" You know, and there was nobody there. I took my flashlight, I went all through the room and checked the closets and everything, and there was nothing there.
Oh my goodness.
I went back and reported what happened, that I'd heard this voice, and I just kind of got laughed at by the others.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. You know what you saw and experienced, and people laugh. But I have a feeling that, you know, something could happen to them, and they might not be laughing so hard.
Yeah, it was a very clear, distinct voice just like that, as if it was said to surprise me as I went past the room. Like, "Hey, you're walking too fast."
Yeah, you're walking too fast. Yeah. Well, there you have it. Well, thank you so much for sharing both of those stories. That first one, that one with the ashes and Chuck. I don't think I'll forget that one. That's a great one. And the other one, hey, another experience. Thank you so much. And I'm not a Canadian, but I'll thank you for your service anyway. Thanks so much.
Oh, thank you.
Next up is Mike from Florida, and he has had a series of paranormal experiences. He is a longtime listener to the Campfire, I think about 4 years, which I think puts him in like the upper quartile of our listeners, and we appreciate it. Mike, welcome to the show, and please tell us about some of these experiences.
My stories, they're not, I don't have like one really big story. This starts back in the late 90s. When I was at home, I was renting a house in Columbus, Ohio, actually. And I would go downstairs to do the laundry, and I'd come back up, watch TV, and go back down about an hour later. So, and the lid on the dishwasher was on a laundry machine was up. So I thought, that's weird. So I put the lid down, go upstairs, do my thing, come back downstairs, change everything from the washing machine to the dryer, put another load in, put the lid down, go back upstairs, come back downstairs, and the lid would be up again. And this went on for a couple of months, and I just thought I was just absent-minded. So then over the course of a few more months, I would sit in the computer room. Let me back up a little bit. I actually went and got a dog. It was my first dog. And I got him as a puppy from the pound, and he'd follow me everywhere. And over the course of time, I never thought anything about these things being abnormal until I got the dog. He would stare at just strange corners of the room or parts of the house, and he would growl. His hair would stand up, and then he'd look back at me, and he would whine. And I thought, well, that's kind of strange. I would have things happen, and we would hear voices. My roommate actually one time would heard some voices while he was in the shower, and they were so loud that he actually got out of the shower, and he went to the kitchen and got a knife and was going through the house because he thought there was people in the house when they shouldn't. The dog would, at bed at night, the dog would lay on the bed with me and he would be all fine. Everything would be good. And then he would raise his head up and he'd look at the door in the bedroom, which was always closed. And he would watch things like they were walking around the bed, and his head would turn and he would whine and he'd look back at me as if to say, "Well, what are you doing about that?" And he did this constantly. He did the whole staring down the hallway or in the corner of the room constantly, you know, the whining, the hair standing up, the growling, all kinds of things. So I was at that house for a good long time. And when I moved, I thought, you know, that would be it. I moved into, I bought a house on the other side of town. And I got up one morning on a Saturday morning. It was just me and the dog. And I stumbled out, you know, both of us kind of stumbling around in the morning, just waking up. And I walk into the living room and I happen to glance down underneath the coffee table on the carpet. There is a handprint. And I thought, well, that's not right because, you know, it's just the dog and I. So, you know, what's this all about? And so I actually took a picture of it because I knew nobody would believe me. And over the course of a couple of hours, the handprint just kind of faded away. And I thought, well, that's strange. So later in the day, I went to the garage. The house had an attached garage, and the garage was closed. And I walk into the garage, and I open the garage door. And as the light comes in, I look down, and on the hood of the car, there's that same handprint on the right passenger side hood of the car. And it was the same size handprint from the same, you know, was a right hand from that was in the living room on the carpet. Thought, well, you know, that's weird. And so a few months later, the dog and I are watching TV in the middle of the afternoon, and you see a bunch of shadows run across the top of the room, along the ceiling, along the wall. That's strange. Things would disappear. I would have a couple dozen pairs of socks, and over the course of 6 months or so, I would get down to two pairs of socks. And same with underwear. I'd have a bunch of underwear, and then over the course of time, I'd get down to almost no underwear, and I don't know where these things are going. We bought a big plastic bag full of paper towels. We'd get like at Target that would have 8 or 10 paper towels in it, and used one roll of paper towels and went down to get the other paper towels out of the basement. And all the paper towels are gone, but the plastic bag's there. And I know over the course of 3 weeks or so, I did not use 10 rolls of paper towels. The basement itself was very strange. When you would walk into that, it was a ranch-style house. It had a front door, and it was on the end of the house where the garage was. There was a door. And when you walked in, you could either make a left and go into the kitchen or walk straight down into the basement. And the basement was always creeping me out. Under the stairs of the basement was where we stored a bunch of extra stuff, Christmas-type stuff. And even when the lights were out down in the basement, that corner just looked exceptionally dark. And when we would turn the lights on in the basement, even though there was a light in that corner of the basement, it still seemed really dark. And my roommate and I, we hated going back. It just really creeped us out. There were times, actually, when I would walk up the stairs and it felt like there was somebody right behind me. And there were a couple of times, it's silly to say, but I actually walked up the stairs backwards because I felt like there was somebody coming up the stairs behind me, and it was such a strong feeling. So I moved out of that house, and I moved to Florida. And this was actually just recent. I was going into the shower and walk into the bathroom, one of the bathrooms, and to the left, there's a sink and toilet, and to the right, there's that towel rack for your towel. And then on the other side of the shower, or the bathroom, there's a shower. So I don't like my shirts to be wrinkled. So I hung my shirt up on the towel rack and I got in the shower, and it was just me at the house at this time. And I was taking a shower, and the shower curtain actually hit me, and it hit my left shoulder, and it didn't hurt, but it hit me. And I was so unexpected that I kind of jumped, and I thought, well, it's strange. My shirt must have somehow fallen from the towel rack and flew across the room 2 or 3 feet somehow. You know, I was trying to justify it and hit the shower curtain. And I opened the shower curtain when I was done, and the shirt's still on the towel rack and nothing's there. So something actually had hit me while I was in the shower. It hit the shower curtain, and the shower curtain actually hit me on the shoulder. And I was laying in bed the other day, and I was laying on my stomach, and I was laying on the left side of my head, and out of nowhere, I heard somebody say my name, and it was only in my left ear. It wasn't in my right ear. And so, you know, just weird things like that have happened to me for a really long time. I was driving to work one morning down here in Florida, and at the time I was living about an hour, and I had to get there really early. So it was like 5:30 in the morning. I was driving on this 2-lane road out in the middle of nowhere, and a pair of see-through legs ran out in front of me in my car. And I actually yelled and hit the brakes because it happened so fast. So, you know, it's been a lot of little things. I was laying in bed one day, and I heard a sigh off to my right, and it was right above my head. And I thought to myself, well, if nothing happens, you know, if I don't get touched or nothing flies across the room, I'll be fine. And a minute or so later, I felt somebody brushed or touched the back of my head 3 times. They were almost like, it was almost like they were petting me. And I thought, I hope there's really no, I don't want anybody to be there, you know? And I turned around and there was nobody there. Since I moved to Florida, things are still happening. I don't have the dog anymore. He passed away a couple years ago. So I don't know if the things are still happening and I'm not seeing it, or if they're happening and I'm just so used to it by now that, you know, I just don't pay them any mind. So, you know, it's nothing major, nothing big like some of the callers have had. Just a lot of really odd noises and sounds and a couple of touches here and there. So, you know, nothing major, nothing big, but just a lot of weird stuff. So I thought I'd call and let you know what was going on.
Well, Mike, you know, I think all of us have these strange things that happen and we can't always put a handle on it. And it might be something that's relatively small. It's not like a full body apparition knocking on your door, but these little things add up to say there's something mysterious going on out there. And I thank you so much for joining us tonight on The Campfire to share your stories.
Thanks for having me.
Stan from Nevada is on the line and he has a couple of quick stories to tell us, talking about some of the strange experiences he's had at his current home. Stan, welcome to the program, and please tell us what happened.
Thanks for having me, Jim. Well, I moved into a house here that was built about 1876. It's actually featured on our ghost walk tours here in local town. And I was kind of a skeptic when it came to these kind of things with paranormal until I moved into this house. And one of the more scarier experiences I had, I was watching Netflix in the living room with my roommate, and he worked grave at the time, so he was just sleeping on the couch and just watching random TV. Well, I had to go to work, so I stood up and walked over to the TV to turn off the Netflix and the TV and get going for work. And so as I got up to the TV, my back was turned to my roommate who was on the couch, only two people in the room. And I asked him if he wanted me to turn off the TV just in case he was still awake and listening or whatnot. And I felt a hand on my right shoulder, and in my ear, a voice, a very deep voice, just, "Yes, please." Turned around, nothing there. My roommate was past asleep on the couch still, nothing there.
Ooh, that's kind of spooky.
Yeah, I felt the actual physical hand on my shoulder too, like a heavy hand. It was quite scary at the time.
Yeah, that is frightening. And I know you had another story.
Yes, this one is a little more frightening, at least for me. It's probably the most frightening thing that has happened in this house. We have a lot of experience here. You'll hear people talking in other rooms when you're in the other room, and you'll hear doors slam, stuff like that. But this one really, really scared me. So, and most of these all take place in our living room for some reason, is where the bulk of activity seems to be. But so I was sleeping on the couch early morning, probably 5:30, 6 o'clock. And I guess sleep there sometimes after working the graveyard shift, you know, it's just easier to fall asleep on the couch. And so I woke up and I was just kind of staring at the ceiling. And then I got that sleep paralysis feeling where I tried to move and I could not. And I was just stuck there laying on the couch. All I could move were my eyeballs.
Oh, that's frightening.
Yeah. First time it had ever happened to me too. And so I looked into our dining room, which from the couch I was laying on, I had a direct view into it. And from the corner, the darkest corner of our dining room, I saw a shadow figure slowly starting to move towards me. And as it got closer, I just felt like a feeling of dread. I was the most scared I've ever been in my entire life. And as it got closer, it got on top of me and started to choke me with one hand. And I could do nothing. I was fighting it, but it just made it worse. And just could not seem to escape this feeling until my roommate, whose bedroom door actually was right next to the couch that I was sleeping on, he opened his bedroom door, and instantly I was freed of this choking. And so I jumped up instantly, like, what was that? Trying to get my bearings. And my roommate tells me that, like, won't believe what just happened to me. And so he had the exact same experience of waking up sleep paralysis and a shadow figure coming out of the corner of his room and choking him.
Oh, my.
Not 5 minutes before I had this experience in the living room. And he said the only reason he was able to shake it off was our roommate slammed the bathroom door, and that freed him from his sleep paralysis and choking by this shadow figure.
Oh, my. Wow.
Two experiences, almost identical, within 5 minutes of each other. It was quite the experience.
Yeah, I would think so. And then we have a little more time. You had a third thing that happened to you. Can you tell us that one too?
Yes, I did. So, as I said, most of this activity, central, happens mostly in our living room for some reason. And it was New Year's Eve this past year. And we were going to have a little New Year's Eve party, so we're setting up decorations and getting food set up. And as I walked by one of our couches in our living room, I got this most rancid smell I could ever imagine. I couldn't even describe it to you. It smelled like rotting flesh, sulfur, just a deathly smell. And it was hovering right over this couch. It wasn't on the floor. It was in one specific location, just hovering there. And we could not figure out where it was coming from. We checked to see if there was maybe a mouse or any kind of dead animal, anything really. Couldn't find anything to I guess, justify what this smell was. And it lasted for probably about 30 minutes and just hovering there, most disgusting, rancid smell I've ever smelled. And since that's happened, every so often, 2-3 times a month maybe, sometimes less, that same smell will happen in just that one location above the couch.
So what do you think is behind all of this? Do you have any theories?
I do know that a previous tenant in this house, actually the son of the man who built the home, did pass away in the house, but other than that, I couldn't tell you. It never feels maleficent, any of the experiences we have, except for that one with the shadow figures and the sleep paralysis. But other than that, it's just door slamming. You hear people having conversations in other rooms.
And do you think you're going to stick with it there?
Oh, I love it here. It's become just second nature. Don't really mind it any business, you know. It's kind of just part of the daily grind at the house.
Well, there you go. Well, thank you so much for telling us your story about these three strange experiences in your home, Stan. And thank you for being a part of the Campfire.
Yeah, thank you very much, Jim.
I hope that you enjoyed this edition of The Campfire as much as I did, and I hope that you'll check out our virtual campfire group on Facebook. That's growing. We're well over 10,000 members now. It's absolutely free, and a lot of great people there sharing a lot of great stories. And many of them then come over here and share them here, too. So it's a kind of a virtuous circle. Also, please subscribe in whatever app you may listen to. Most people tend to listen to one of the Apple apps, possibly, or iTunes, the podcast app on your iPhone or iPod, or Google Play, or Stitcher, or iHeartRadio. Wherever you can subscribe, rate, review, that helps us tremendously, and we would certainly appreciate it. We thank you for tuning in to this edition of The Campfire, and as always, stay spooky. Have a great week, everybody. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Jim Harold's Campfire. Tune in again next time for more stories of ordinary people who have experienced extraordinary things.